The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
TV and streaming with Elaine Burke and Joe O'Shea. Elaine, why is Apple TV not giving us binge watching with some of their best new programmes? I'm getting very frustrated having to wait a week at a time to see the next episode of Slow Horses. Why are they at that?
Well, I'm in a very different scenario where I couldn't even read the brief for today because I'm only one episode in because I was away and I've missed two. But I don't mind the week by week. I'm not a binge watcher. And I do think it's nice to have that kind of tension built up. They can actually kind of create an event around each episode coming out then. So it actually kind of lengthens the amount of press that they can get around the content that they're releasing. Because sometimes with the binge watches, you see a spike in interest and then it actually craters off quite quickly. Because of the binge watchers getting through it in a weekend and then no one's really talking about it anymore. And like, I suppose with Slow Horses, it is prestige TV. It's probably cost them a lot of money to make as well. They definitely spent a lot more budget on the last season and I expect this season is going to be the same.
But give people choice. They can binge or they can stretch it out.
People can't be trusted with those choices.
Yeah. Of course they can be trusted. They're the consumers. They're paying for it.
They're protecting us from ourselves. That's what they're doing. Because binge watching, I've done it, we've all done it, but it feels bad after you've done it. Just like binging on junk food feels bad or binging on anything. Well...
But that
feels bad to me.
Anticipation is also good for them. Like, they're leaving you wanting more. That's a classic trope in entertainment.
And also, the point to be made as well is they're also bringing you back to their site, which is very important as well, once a week, and you're really paying attention.
You look for something else in the meantime.
Exactly.
But I suppose, I would love to watch all of Slow Horses over a couple of nights. And my fear, maybe my attention span is diminishing as I age and maybe this information era that we're in. I'm trying to remember what was in last week's by the time the next week comes around. On the other hand, in something like Perfect Couple, which would come out on Netflix, if that hadn't been available to watch almost over one go or over a few nights, if I'd had to wait 1 week to the next for that, I'd have given up on it after the first episode, saying it's not worth it.
I suppose you do need to definitely have a bit more tension and a bit more of a dramatic element to it to entice people to return every week. So it's kind of a test of, I suppose, some of the different layers, different styles of television making now. And I do think it's good to keep some shows doing weekly release. I find that is interesting. And it's also something that's been criticised for the production side of things as well. This kind of binge thing actually shrinks then the window of them producing their next series, and then people are giving out that your next series isn't coming fast enough. And we've seen like massive windows opening up there. Severance, the new season is like 2 years in the making now.
Yeah.
And there's problems there again with your big names in your cast, trying to get them involved as well. But I do think like all of these things are still being teased out, so we're going to be in this interim period where people are going to experiment in different ways and different methods of what they're going to do in terms of production.
Okay, let's move on to something else. RT Primetime Investigates last Thursday night, Joe, had Inside the Protests, and Barry O'Kelly brought his cameras and there were hidden cameras brought, finding out what was going on with the protesters against the accommodation for migrants. Now, in a sinister development, I think it's very dangerous to journalism. The Gardaí tried to seize the material prior to broadcast, which is really puts journalists and broadcasters in danger if protesters and other people feel that material will be handed over to the Gardaí as if journalists are an arm of the Gardaí. But even leaving that aside, or maybe even bringing that in, Joe, depending on how you feel about that, how important is it that RT does programmes like this?
It's incredibly important. And you're right to make that point, because you and I will both remember instances of this before where Gardaí were looking for, in the past, have looked for photographers, for instance, to hand over their film back in the day when things weren't digital. It is dangerous. And you wonder why the Gardaí are still doing it. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, especially since there's absolutely no shortage of these guys themselves uploading themselves doing this stuff to social media. If you're looking for footage of this, there's more than enough out there already. It was a very important program. I'll tell you why. Because I think for the first time, most Irish people, the vast majority of Irish people, actually got to see up front and close what is actually going on, and the toxic nature of this and the disgusting nature of this and the mob mentality of what's going on. I think if you haven't been up close, if you haven't seen it actually happening, and I've seen it up close myself, I saw two guys try to rip a man out of a wheelchair at a so-called protest not so long ago. So I think that was very important. Hopefully it kind of wakes a lot of people up, you know, that this concerned locals, this like, we're only just asking questions, Moronia, hopefully we'll get people to see what's really going on. And I think that's, Barry and the Primetime team are to be congratulated for what they did, because it took a lot of guts for him to do that as well. That is not a nice place to be in the middle of these guys.
Okay, let's go to picks of the week. Elaine, I'm going to play a clip from the trailer of your pick, McMahon, which is coming out on Netflix.
People have wondered who I really am. You know, portrayals of me, I'm a bad guy. But no one really knows me.
In the world of professional wrestling,
Vince McMahon,
he's easy to hate.
What you expect?
I don't fight fair.
That's exactly what you're going to get.
It's not my fault that I happen to be a self-made billionaire.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to All American Wrestling.
When I bought my dad's business, my vision was to make this mainstream.
Welcome to WrestleMania.
Vince created this huge empire,
billion-dollar entertainment juggernaut.
He did things that no one thought were possible.
Everything he did turned to gold.
Tell us all about this, Elaine.
Yeah, so anyone who doesn't know anything about WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, will not be familiar with the figure of Vince McMahon. But anyone who was a fan ever since the 90s, he's been a long-term part of it. He is the founder of WWE, but in the 90s, he actually started inserting himself into the storyline. So the shouting and roaring you hear there is him actually in the ring as a character in the show. And
didn't he do a sham fight with Donald Trump once?
Yeah, Trump actually did turn up in the ring. Yeah, so like he's had touch points with many political characters as well, actually, in his time as well.
I think the wife ended up in Trump's government the last time.
Yes, Linda McMahon. Yeah, so they have a lot of power, they have a lot of sway, and they definitely have a lot of sway in like certain like parts of American culture, like these people who probably would be more inclined towards Republican values and things like that. And it's anything to do with WWE, I find inherently fascinating. There's always these crazy characters involved. And McMahon is a very controversial character. He actually stepped down as CEO in 2022 amid some misconduct allegations. And more recently, this year, he's been accused of sex trafficking and all sorts of terrible things. And this is from the executive producer of Tiger King is directing this. Now, he also directed the Wham documentary, which I really enjoyed on Netflix. And like when you bring in whether it's going to go to the Tiger King route or the Wham route, is it going to like enhance the character of McMahon? But they do say it's going to be an unflinching portrait. And they started filming it in 2020 before these allegations came out. They probably thought they were making a very different documentary then. And what it's turned out to be, they took 4 years putting this together. And there will be famous faces that people will have seen, like that, you know, broke into the movie world. The Rock was the second voice you heard in that trailer, Dwayne Johnson, who is probably the most famous person to come out of this. And he is part of the production as well.
What's your pick of the week, Joel, please?
Very quickly, it's Great Irish Interiors on Thursday at 8 p.m. I think it kind of gets overlooked in the shadow of Room to Improve and Home of the Year. I think this is a great show. It's a new series coming back. They just did Fota Island in Cork, and they're looking at Glenveagh Castle in County Donegal. And I think it's just, it's a great half hour of TV. So it's Great Irish Interiors Thursday at 8 p.m.
But just very briefly, I know I'm conscious we're over time, but Joe, as I have you there, it's Graham Norton show back this Friday.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's Colin Farrell, one of the guests. Doesn't this just emphasise how difficult it is for the Late Late Show to be up against the Graham Norton Show? Or I wonder, do Irish people turn in big numbers to watching Graham Norton live?
I think they do. I think they absolutely do. And look, he's got Colin Farrell, he's got Lady Gaga, and he's got Demi Moore. I mean, the three, you know, that sound you're hearing is Patrick Keelty sobbing into his Late Late Show coffee mug. Like, you can't, how can you compete against that? I think Irish people will either take Graham Norton and watch it or the other way around. But it's just the firepower that Graham Norton has in that coach is staggering.
I think Graham is always going to have the big stars. I mean, he has them in these lineups and they interact with each other, and it is quite an incredible show because of that. But is that what the Late Late Show needs to aspire to? Because that's going to be very
costly. Because you can't get those guests.
And they can't get them. But also, like, where do you showcase the small and up-and-coming Irish stars then? Like, do they not deserve that place on our national broadcast or on our late-night television show? So, like, you know, it kind of swings both ways, that argument. Like, you don't want to, you know, do you want to displace some of those peoples in order to get Lady Gaga? Would that be fair? Lady Gaga's getting booked anyway.
Thank you very much. Elaine Burke, Joe Shea.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.